So I'd like to introduce to you Father Danny McCaffrey, who's teaching all the masses this weekend, and he'll be giving our parish mission. Father McCaffrey.
Well, good morning to all of you. You're so bright and fresh here at 8 o'clock in the morning. You should have seen the 6:30 crowd, you know. Thought I was in the cemetery, you know. But they came alive. They came alive. And I am delighted to be here, believe me. Father has invited me to give the mission this year in Advent or before Advent. And so it's a joy just to be here in your parish and to be part of you for the next couple of days. And with regard to a mission, some people say, well, what do I need a mission for? Well, you're the one I'm talking to, okay? Not the church mouse or the church mice, because they're, you know, I'm talking to you who are dragging your feet and, you know, come over here on Sunday and watch your clock and you on half through the mass and bored to death. You're the ones I want to come here to the mission especially, because I think you'll get something out of the mission, and God's graces are amazing, and they will touch the souls of even the most hardened of people, or even the most lackadaisical of people. So I'm just trying today, for these few moments, to whip up a little bit of interest. There was a great saint, Francis Liguori. He was a lawyer, became a priest, a bishop, he founded the Redemptorist Order, and he was a great writer in moral theology, so a tremendous saint. And he used to give missions through Italy when he was a priest. And he often said, if you don't speak up on Sunday in order to attract the people to the mission, you can forget about it. You've got to be there on Sunday to try to get the people enthusiastic. So I may turn you off, but I hope it'll be the opposite, that you'll be attracted to come tonight at 7 o'clock for the opening of the mission. And we all need to take a break, you know. We all need to look at ourselves. Sometimes the Lord, I think the Lord said one time, he did say that the children of the world are a lot sharper and a lot smarter than the children of grace, the children of light. You know, in the world, we're very cautious. If you're in business or you're running a farm, you keep a good set of books, you bring in an accountant, you take an inventory, because you know if you don't, you're going to be out of business. You have to know whether you're making money or whether you're losing money. Your automobile, you bring it over to the maintenance shop and have the oils changed, the tires checked, the brakes looked at, because you don't want to be on the side of the road. You don't want to be on the side of the road some night because you didn't take care of your automobile. So we're very clever in these particular ways. Coaches, during a ball game, a basketball game or a football game, will call a timeout. Well, they call a timeout in order to correct things that were not proper during the game, to give instruction, to give encouragement to the players. And so we do it all the time. Musical instruments, the piano, the organ, the flute, the drum. We have it tuned up to beat out a good note. And so too in the spiritual life, we seem to forget sometimes we have to get tuned up and not get in a rut. And too many people stay in a rut for 50, 60 years of their life. And so the mission is a kind of a pep rally to get us back to the things of God and to be operating 100%. The Pope himself makes a retreat every year. First week in Lent, he closes up the Vatican, and he and his staff, they go ahead and they spend a week in prayer, listening to preaching, and I'm sure going to confession, and looking and evaluating their own particular lives. Monks and hermits and sisters and bishops and priests all go off, sometimes twice, three times a year, to a retreat house in order to think about the ultimate realities. And so too, many of you cannot go and do these things. You can't do them because of this or that particular reason, your family obligations or whatever. So what we have is called a mission that comes to the parish and brings the priest to you. And so it's a time of prayer, it's a time of reflection, it's a very important time. And so that's why we're here. That's why your pastor has brought me in, because it's like a little retreat, it's a little mission for you. And especially as we get ready for Christmas. You know, this is the end of the year. And this is a good time. I think next Sunday is probably the last Sunday of the year. And then in another week or so, we'll have the beginning of Advent. And then also, it's a good time to think of our final end, too. To think of the four last things. What are the four last things? Death, judgment, heaven, or hell. The second reading today is a very interesting reading if you were listening carefully. There's a line in here from the book of the Hebrews. It says, just as it is appointed that human beings die once, and after this, the judgment. You see, sometimes we can forget that and get a little bit sloppy about our spiritual life and get wrapped up in the things of this world to the extent that we're taken away from God. And that is why a retreat is a good thing, and it's an opportunity. Now, during the retreat, one of the nicest things is an opportunity to go to confession. Now, I know Father has provided very wonderful opportunities for you to go to confession. I know that, and that's wonderful. But there may be some of you out there that haven't been to confession in 50 years, 40 years, 30 years, or whatever the reason is, and you're scared to death to go to confession. And the devil wants you to be scared to death. He wants to keep you out of that confessional, because he knows that when you go to confession on a regular basis, you're no longer in his grip or on his radar screen. So he doesn't want you to go to confession. Now, where are you going with that baby? I love babies. Huh? Well, get right back here. It reminds me of a little story of Archbishop Sheen. I don't know if you guys remember him. He was a great bishop. And he was a great preacher. He was on radio, television, tremendous preacher. He'd hold everybody spellbound. And so one day he was preaching in the big church, and he had everybody spellbound, about 3,000 people. And this little baby starts acting up down there in the middle of the sermon and screaming and yelling. And the poor mother, you know, of course, that's the end of the sermon, right? The attention span of Catholics is about 30 seconds anyway. So the only thing we need is something like that, and that's the end of the homily. So the poor bishop, you know, he didn't want to show any disappointment, and the mother grabbed the little one howling, and she grabbed him and started to run to the back of the church. And the bishop said, "Mother, mother, you don't have to take that baby out of here. It doesn't bother me." And the mother shouted back, "Maybe not, but you bother the baby." So you can't win for losing, you see. Poor bishop, you know. You know, the babies are the future of the church, and they're the future of our country. You want to know why we're not going to have any Social Security? Because we have no more kids to pay into it. We're contracepting our brains out, and we're getting sterilized, so we're having no more children. Don't be surprised if there's nothing for you old people like me. Eat your heart out. But that's not what I'm going to talk about today. But what I want to do is try to encourage you to go to confession and do what God wants you to do. And to, you know, there's a new word they use for confession today. It's not reconciliation, and it's not penance or whatever, but there's a new word in the catechism that is conversion, the sacrament of conversion. And everyone needs to be converted, Mother Teresa included. Mother Teresa used to go to confession every day. That big sinner used to go every day, okay? So you can go every 30 years? You know, give me a break. The Pope goes every week to confession. So you don't have to go but once a year? Wow. We should have named this the Church of Saints. You know? No, we're all sinners and we all need to be converted. Even from venial sins, that little grudge that we've got, that anger that we break out into, we need to get that out of our souls. And confession goes tremendously in doing that. That's why the devil doesn't want you to go to confession. And he cooks up all these Mickey Mouse excuses as to why you shouldn't go to confession. Oh, I don't know the act of contrition. The priest will think I'm a dummy. Well, you probably are a dummy. After 50 years, you don't know the act of contrition yet? But we're not going to call you a dummy in the confessional because you might get mad. You see, and never go to confession for another 50 years. But let me give you a quick act of contrition. Shut up down there. Jesus, mercy. Now, if you can't remember that, you're in bad shape, okay? But even if you can't remember that little act of contrition, I'll remind you of it in the confessional. Jesus, mercy. That's all. So what's your problem? What's your problem? And then another thing is, the devil sometimes, he said, I don't know how to go to confession. It's been so long since I've gone to confession. Hey, the only thing you need in confession is to be sorry for your sins, because if you're not sorry, even our Lord Jesus couldn't forgive you. You got to bring that in. You got to be sorry and promise God with His grace you won't do it again. And then we'll take care of the rest of the stuff. Don't worry about it. And then some people will say, oh, if I told my sins to the priest, he'd get a heart attack. He'd get a nervous breakdown. Well, I'll be 79 next month. And I'm over 51 years a priest. I spent 8 years in Pakistan among the Muslims as a missionary. I spent 20 years in the army. I'm retired from the army. I was in Vietnam and all through the mess over there. Now, if you know some sin I haven't heard, make my day. I'm writing a book on new sins, you know, that no one ever heard of. So if you have something I haven't heard, you know, it'd be wonderful for this book. No, you know, don't let that ever get you down, okay? The priest is there like Jesus. Jesus didn't condemn the woman in sin. He didn't condemn. He healed, forgave the sin. That's what confession is all about. It's not a condemnation. It's a healing. Get healed. Come back to confession. Go frequently, at least once a month. There was a Pope, St. Pius V, that said that if I could get five confessors, five priests that was really good at hearing confessions, I could convert the whole city of Rome with just five priests that could hear confessions well. So that's why the devil doesn't want you to go to confession. So if some of you have been away for a long time, and you have them in there and you come back, hey, the mission's a success. The mission's a tremendous success. In that life of Archbishop Sheehan, I just tell one short little story. This is not breaking any confessional seal. Either the woman told it herself or she gave the priest permission to tell it. But the story goes like this. It was in his life that a woman went into confession and said, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is 30 years since my last confession." And the priest said, "What? 30 years? Why have you been away from confession for 30 years?" Well, you can imagine how that poor lady must have felt. So she took a breath, I guess, and she says, "Father, do you really want to know why I've been away from confession for 30 years?" "Yes, I would." "Well, Father, 30 years ago, I went to confession to a priest just like you." And that's why it's so important in confession that the priest be gentle like the Lord, healing and sending the person away knowing they are one now with the Lord. That's what it's all about. So if some of you have been away for a long time and been thinking about it, hey, get your act together, get into confession, and start going on a regular basis. So that the mission would be a success if one or two people were to come to confession. Now you say, what are we going to talk about during the mission? I know everything, and maybe you don't know everything. There may be a lot of things you don't know, or you've forgotten about the faith. You know, most of us have learned the faith 20, 30, 40 years ago when we were children. But now we've grown up with mature minds, and now we need to look at the faith as mature people. Most of our Catholics don't know the faith. I can assure you of that. Unless you know something I don't know. Most Catholics do not know the faith. And that adds to much of the confusion we have in our church today. Our Protestant friends ask us questions. They say, well, what? Why are you worshiping these statues and these pictures and these things? And they ask questions. And we stand there like a bunch of dummies. We don't know what to say. No wonder our Protestant friends continue with their ignorance about the faith, because our Catholics are ignorant themselves. Your grandchildren, your children come to you and ask about the angels. They ask about this, they ask about that. They ask about purgatory, they ask about indulgences, they ask about what is the church's teaching. And we stand there with our mouth open. Don't you think we should learn about our faith and try to ingest it and love it and then share it with other people? And so during the mission, I want to go through the new catechism. It's not new anymore, but it's the catechism of the Catholic Church. And it's broken into four divisions, four founds. First found is, what do we believe? And that's the creed that you're going to say in a few minutes. Now people just get up sometimes and mouth that whole thing and they never even think about what they're saying. Do you understand what you mean? We believe in one God. We believe in one church. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Son. We believe in the one holy Catholic Church. Do you realize what all of that means? The forgiveness of sins, life everlasting. These things should animate us and drive us in the spiritual life. So I want to go through those beautiful teachings with you. Go and look at the history of the Jewish people, the Old Testament, and how it connects with the New Testament, and how the great prophecies of the Old Testament signal the coming of Jesus, the Savior. And to go through and hook those Old Testament, New Testament historically up for you. And then go through the basic teachings, the Blessed Trinity, the life of Jesus, what are his basic teachings. And then we believe in the one church. Christ didn't come to establish 500 different churches. He came to establish one church, and that's the Catholic Church that we believe in. And that's not a negotiable point. And we need to talk about that. Well, then you say, how are Jews and Muslims and Hindus going to be saved? Do you know anything about that? Do you know the teaching of the church on how people that have not been baptized are saved? Do you know that? So you can speak intelligently to these people? You say you believe in the Holy Church. Well, how can the church be holy with all these scandals out there today? How do you explain that? So we want to talk about these issues in an adult format. And then I want to go in and talk about the second fount of the catechism. How we're sanctified. We're moving away then from what we believe to how we're sanctified. The seven sacraments. And especially baptism, confirmation, and the Eucharist. It's said that so many of our Catholics today don't believe that Jesus is in the tabernacle. They think he's there in some kind of a different way. Many of our Catholics have become Protestantized. They don't believe in the Eucharist the way the Catholic Church understands it. And I want to go into that and explain it. I want to talk about the Mass. People come to Mass, many times they haven't got a clue what's going on. Somebody walking around a table up here with a 5th century overcoat on. The kids are bored and you're bored because nobody knows what's going on. They don't realize that you, as priest of God, in your baptism, there's a live wire that exists between what's going on at the consecration and you. A real live wire. And if you don't understand that, you're going to be bored for the rest of your life going to Mass. People say, well, I've been going to Holy Communion 40 years and I don't get anything out of it. Well, shame on you. You know why you don't get anything out of it? Because you don't have the attitude so that the Lord can work on you and transform you. You're not cooperating with the Lord. You think there's some magic is going to take place. The Lord depends on your dispositions. And that's why confession is so much part and parcel with the dispositions for a good Holy Communion. I want to tie this all together during these sessions. And then talk about the commandments. How do we live as Christians? Many of us Catholics live a scandalous life. And we give bad example to these people. And we're laughed at by people. And you Catholics don't even obey your own leaders. You don't obey the Pope. You don't obey the church teachings. And we need to talk about the commandments. And teach about the love of parents. The obedience that children should have to their parents. And by the way, this mission is not just for older people. It's for the family people. And you bring your children to the mission. I want to see the young children here. Because everything I'm saying is going to be understood by the children. Come as a family. Bring your children. Let them hear the whole teaching, and then you at the table at home discuss these matters together. Because you parents are the basic teachers of your children. When the priest baptizes the little baby, he says to the father, you and your wife must be the first teachers of your children in the ways of the faith, and you must be the best teachers of your children in the ways of the faith. Well, how can you do that if you don't know the faith? And so that's your obligations, parents. So bring the children here. Let them hear the Word of God preached. And then the last part, I'm going to talk about prayer and contemplation and spiritual reading, the life of God and the soul. I want to talk about the rosary, how to say the rosary. A lot of people don't even know how to say the rosary. And that's why they get bored with the rosary and stop saying it. They don't understand the contemplative part, the meditative part of the rosary, which is the soul of the rosary. And if they don't understand that, they are going to get bored with it. So we're going to talk about all of these subjects on the different nights. And the only thing I can do is say, look, if the television is more important or some other thing is more important, then okay, you do your thing. But for some of you, this may be the last call. Some of you, God may be just putting out the word, hey brother, hey sister, get your act together while there's still time. This time during the year, we think about death with the cold weather. The darkness setting in early. This should be a reminder that one day we're going to leave here. And it might be a lot sooner than you and I think. You know, our Catholics remind me as I end now. My Catholics remind me very much of the mice in England. I was reading a book about the field mice in England. And during the harvest, during the corn time, the little mice get into the fields. And they think that those cornfields were put together for them. Yeah, they really do. And they mate and they play and they eat and they drink and they have a glorious time in the cornfields of England, thinking it's going to go on forever. But one day the harvest, the farmer comes and the corn stalks fall down on their little mousy ears. And these poor little mice run helter-skelter to their death. And these tragedies go on every year in the cornfields of England. Now we say, well, you think the mice would get it together? They never will, because God didn't give them a brain to put two and two together. But when you have Catholics acting like a bunch of field mice, and they think that God put this world together for their fun and games, they're worse than the mice in England. Because the poor mice have an excuse for their ignorance. What excuse do we have, who have been made to know God, love God, to serve God in this world, and be with Him forever? And to live in such a way that they believe that. And that's why we need to come together and think as an adult community about the ultimate realities. So what more can I say except, brothers and sisters, give it some serious thought. Invite your Protestant friends who have been bothering with all these questions and say, well, what's going on over there? Well, tell them it's a revival. Yeah, it's a revival, you know? And tell them to come along. They'll know what you're talking about. And the older people, the people in the nursing homes, people that can't get out at night because they can't drive, whatever, pick them up and bring them here. Get on the horn and make some phone calls. And get them out here. And bring them home. And that'd be a nice act of charity. So, I pray that you'll make this a good mission. Your pastor, who cares and loves you very much, brings me here because he's a good shepherd. He's interested in this flock. He wants to see you grow and become spiritually developed. And not to take advantage of these things is to kind of, in a way, thumb your nose at God's grace. Now, the last thing I mentioned is today, the second collection is going to be for the work that I do and to support the mission. I do a lot of work with married couples. I go all over the world preaching and working in another area completely. And this helps to support the work that I do. So I take up a second collection. I alert the ushers to the second collection today. The ushers here today usually go out for a smoke during the sermon. But are there any ushers still around? Okay, gentlemen, good. Take up the second collection after Holy Communion, if you don't mind. And this is going to the good work that I do. I support all kinds. I won't go in and bore you with details, but a big help. And I know we've had some tough times. Some of you older people have lost a lot of money on the stock market. Jobs, 10%, unemployment. I know this is a bad time to be taking up a second collection. So if you have nothing, don't worry about it. Just pray for me. What else can, that's more important anyway. But there may be a few fat cats out there. You know, every parish has a couple of fat cats. And maybe you're going to make a big fat checkout, you know? You say, well, who should I make the checkout to? Well, just make it out to the mission. Put it in the second collection. Don't worry about it. Some people say, well, what am I going to write on the second line? I say, leave it blank. I'll fill that in. I don't find many people ever doing that because they find a very big surprise at the end of the month when they get their statement. But so I would say, do what you can. You know, I cook my own meals at home. I go and do my own grocery shopping. And I go into the grocery store and I put $20 down on a counter and I get nothing. I don't know whether that's your experience. I mean, you buy, it's just five things, it's all I get for $20. So where are you going to go with $20 today? So it's a good day to preach on collections because of those two women. Remember in the first, second, third reading? How they were generous with the Lord even though they didn't have it. They didn't have it. They were generous and God took care of them. God takes care of us. We're kind of cheapskates by nature. We don't like to give away our hard-earned money. And it hurts us. And that's why almsgiving takes away a lot of sin. Because it hurts us to give. And when God smiles upon that and He takes away some of our sins, like with fasting and prayer and almsgiving. So when we give generously from the heart, God is generous to us. So second collection, do the best you can. And we'll take up another offering during the mission, but I hope that you'll all be making the mission today, starting 7 o'clock tonight. I'll be in the confessional at 6 o'clock tonight, and then 7 o'clock we'll begin the mission. You can leave whenever you want. If you quit before I do, you can hit the road and go home. Okay, so you don't have to stay. Stay as long as you want. So God bless all of you and for your rapt attention. And God bless all of you. Take care. I'll see you tonight.
Good.